the reality and the truth is, like, you are an individual. We all are individuals. And as much as we have labels, sister, daughter, friend, mother, those are important. But when we don't know and foster that, like, identity of self, that's when we don't get to be the best, shiniest, most empowered version of us.
Welcome to the Women Choosing Growth podcast, where we bring you practical advice and guidance on how to grow your business and achieve success in your entrepreneurial journey. We feature inspiring stories of success, challenges of growth, and lessons learned from women entrepreneurs, industry experts, and thought leaders who have been through the growing pains inevitable as an entrepreneur. Whether you are just getting started or are looking to scale up your business, our show is designed to provide you with the tools, resources, and community you need to grow your business. Join your host, Tina, a lifelong entrepreneur and business growth advisor, as we explore topics such as marketing, sales, finance, leadership, and personal growth, all tailored specifically to the needs of women entrepreneurs. So if you're ready to grow your business faster and smarter and learn from the experiences of those who have traveled the growth path before you, then this podcast is for you. Thanks for tuning in and let's get started.
Welcome to another episode, ladies. Today's guest is Allison LeCarcier, a professional coach with a focus on leadership and worthiness. As the founder of Clear Coaching, she is an expert in helping doctors, leaders, entrepreneurs, and teams step into their greatest potential through powerful communication and mindset strategies. She has many years of experience helping professionals streamline their efficiencies and increase their productivity using the human first methodology. She has over a decade of experience managing multi-million dollar practice before forming her own business to help other women professionals elevate their personal and business success through this self-worth exploration. Additionally, she's a certified professional coach and a member of the International Coaches Federation, UC Davis for coaching, certified as a transformational trainer through Lionspeak. Obviously, she is world known for her impact. Today, Allison shares the power of worthiness through four very tangible steps on the pathway to finding your ultimate worthiness and shares real examples of how this inner peace and finding your ultimate worthiness helps to impact your overall health and the health of your business. Welcome to the show, Allison.
Thanks so much for having me. I'm excited to be here.
So before we dive into your four steps, four pathway steps to worthiness, I really want to hear about your entrepreneur journey because you are in a unique industry working with a lot of professionals, a lot of women professionals. But how did you get to this position in the dental world?
Yeah, great question. It's something people ask me all the time because the jump that I made was just like this big jump. It was this kind of scary jump, but it was every single part of it, when I kind of unpack it in reverse, it makes total sense. So I grew up in dentistry. I started being a dental assistant when I was 19 years old, and I moved to the island of Bermuda from Canada. I didn't like the cold. I didn't want to live there. So I moved when I was 19 years old for my like very first job. And while I was growing up and learning in that practice, I learned how to run a multi-million dollar company. I was a dental assistant, but I moved into treatment coordinating, sales, moved into office management, team leadership, understanding the finances, understanding how to really run a profitable and high-paced, fast-paced business. And while I was there, I just knew that someday I wanted to do my own thing. And I had no idea what, but I really knew why. And I think that's really important sometimes, because when we're in a position where we're like, I'm not settled here, this isn't enough for me, it's not where I want to stay, we think that we need to know specifically what we're going to do next. But I really found when I was going through this process, really leaning into my why, it helped me guide that path to what came next. So I fell in love with managing people. And I decided to go and get my professional coaching certification through IPEC. I went to Boston and it took me a year. And during that time, I was just growing and evolving as a manager. I was a really young manager. Everyone on my team was older than me. There was a lot of like challenges when it came to kind of like the intergenerational management. Yes. But I learned a lot. And when I became a professional coach, it was one of the first times in my life that I was sitting in that room And I knew that this was exactly what I was meant to do. I loved it. I loved being able to kind of crack open human potential. I loved being able to understand the internal barriers that we face, especially and specifically as women, when we're navigating certain career challenges or, you know, career pathways. And I just fell in love with that process. So taking my background of managing a dental company and my passion for coaching, I launched a dental coaching company.
Makes sense.
Yeah, it was during the pandemic. I felt like it was just all laid out for me. And I was hosting online webinars, and all of the clients that I got were female dentists. And during my coaching certification, I was coaching women in business, and I had just organically brought forward some coaching clients, but I really launched into women in dentistry. And so during that time, I was found by some of the bigger companies online. They all found me on social media. They found me on my online webinars, and they asked me to become a speaker. So I started speaking in our industry quite a bit, pretty quickly on some big stages, and it just continued to grow my company. So everything happened fairly organically. And over the last 4 years, I feel like I've right-sized. Like, I went and I started a marketing agency and started serving dental practices and marketing. And I was like, you know what? I really don't love that. Like, it's cool and it's fun. There's a lot of opportunity, but I need to get back to this like coaching piece that I fell in love with to begin with. And kind of circling back to my why was to be able to have time freedom and location freedom. Because living in Bermuda, living on an island away from my family, I had a niece and a nephew, my parents are aging, and I knew I wanted to be able to spend time with them and spend time in the world, kind of wherever I wanted to be, doing the thing that I was passionate about. And so that has fast forwarded me to now. I launched a program for all of Canada, actually. We're in Canada this year. We're moving into the US, called Women in Digital Dentistry, and it's all about the empowerment and the kind of growth of women in business, really taking that like human aspect of it. So I feel like it's taken a little bit of a journey of like right sizing, of starting something, stopping it, starting something else, chasing the opportunities to finally be in a position where I'm like, this is exactly the program. This is exactly what I'm meant to be doing.
I love so much of that story. And I know we had talked earlier about, my gosh, you know, people think if I just live somewhere magical like Bermuda, like, you know, all the stars would be aligned. But it sounded like you had like, I'm surprised, I guess I didn't realize such a large practice would be on Bermuda that you were able to manage. But, you know, location isn't everything. You have to have that inner peace, it sounds like, where you know exactly where you're meant to be at particular stages of your life. So thank you so much for sharing that. I feel like many of us can relate.
Yeah, I think sometimes like when I was 19, 20, 21, I loved it. I was playing on the national volleyball team there. It was warm. It was beautiful. I absolutely loved it. But then, you know, as I got older, I realized, you know, there's a big part of my heart that's missing by being here full time. And I can't manage this practice and stay in this position if I and see my family as much as I want to. So I have to make a change. And I really want to make a change that honors all aspects of my life. And I mean, like, we evolve all the time as human beings. I think we're constantly evolving, and something that worked for a part of our season just doesn't work in the future. So it's okay to evolve, but it definitely was that time where I was like, for the future me, for future Allison, if when I decide to become a mom, I want that freedom to not be attached to a specific location.
The entrepreneurs listening are definitely nodding their heads, as that is one of the biggest reasons of why most people go into entrepreneurship, unless they accidentally do. There's a lot of accidental entrepreneurs that all of a sudden are like, oh, I'm really good at my thing, and I guess I've been in business for 5 years. So appreciate that. I want to dive into a little bit more of this transition. You are working in the dental field. You felt your calling to be more of that coach, mentor, like help. Was it specifically women at that point? And what are some of those things that you have found are very consistent with the executive women, the entrepreneur women that you're working with?
Yeah, it wasn't necessarily wanting right away to work with women, but I found that I enjoyed it more, to be honest. I enjoyed working with women more.
Me too.
Yeah. I just loved it.
It is special. Yes. So,
and I found that female executives naturally gravitated towards me, and that was the kind of client I just attracted. And so being in Bermuda is an interesting place. It is a small island, 60,000 people. It is one of the most expensive places to live in the world, and its main industry is international business. And so I got to grow up as a dental assistant, office manager, treatment coordinator, working with really high-powered executive women who were just incredible. So I had so many women in my life that were mentors that I got to see kind of like growing up in that environment. And so when I became a coach, a lot of my clients in the dental space became my clients as a professional coach. And kind of looking from the outside in, looking at these women, I was like, wow, like they have it all. They are so successful. They're beautiful. They're strong. They're financially successful. Like they have it all. And when I became a professional coach and I got to kind of crack open the mindset mm-hmm. of what was happening inside of their brains, I realized that there was this giant gap of who they were, like their greatness, their true just beauty, their essence, their like amazingness, and how they saw themselves. And it honestly kind of shocked me. And I felt that in myself to some degree, but as I kind of started to create bigger goals for myself, move into different corporate organizations, stand on bigger stages, I noticed it more. So I got really curious about this because I really couldn't stand the fact that I got to spend time with these incredible women who were achieving incredible things, and yet they still didn't feel good enough. They felt like they were always failing. They didn't feel like they had work-life balance. They felt guilty all the time, and they were moving towards their goals from a sense of almost anxiety and fear and high levels of stress. And so I wanted to understand, like, why? Why is this something that I'm seeing in all these high-performing women? Why do I see this in myself? And that has led me down probably the most important journey that I've ever gone down personally and that I've ever helped or supported women in personally.
Tell me more.
So when I went down this journey of like the whys, the first time it was a why for myself. Because I got into an abusive relationship. And I kind of, as that relationship progressed, I was like shocked almost. I'm like, I know I'm successful. I know I'm a good person. I know I'm beautiful. Why did I get into this relationship? Why did I allow this to happen?
Sure.
And being the coach, being the curious person that I am, it just really, I had to get really real with myself. And it boiled down to really one thing. And it was a way that I valued myself. So definitely we can get into relationships in like kind of not intentionally. Like, you know, you don't just get into an abusive relationship. Like they often are slow burn, slow boil.
Yeah.
But there were moments along the way that I, if I would have valued myself more, if I would have had a greater sense of self-worth, I would have been said no. So that was something that I really kind of had to look at myself and see like, where is this coming from? Why is this here? And so it gave me this kind of journey and this pathway to understanding like true self-worth. Why is there less of it sometimes in people? Why is there more of it? And how do we foster a greater sense of self-worth? Because that is the foundation for all of the reasons that I see executive, corporate, high-performing women struggle. Burnout, not saying no, not asking for what you want, feeling bad or guilty about asking for what you deserve, not speaking up, like putting yourself into a position that you wouldn't necessarily ever expect someone else to be in. It's the overworking, the overgiving, the overperforming. Mm-hmm. All of that stems from somewhere. And yes, it gives us a certain level, like we get to a certain level of success because we're working so hard. But at some point, there's a consequence. And for me, the consequence was huge. It was ending up and finding myself in a relationship that was very bad for me. And so I really wanted to dedicate myself to helping women understand this sooner and help kind of corporate women that are really pushing hard and doing great things foster a greater sense of self-worth so that they don't have to kind of hit that wall, whether that wall be like not being healthy or feeling burnt out, mm-hmm. chronic illness, you know, infertility, not being able to find a relationship, being in the wrong relationship, all of these things that kind of are a consequence of that really high stress, lack of self-worth drive that we go on. And so through that journey, I invested in my own coaching. I invested in my own therapy. I invested in my own kind of education. And I found myself in a lot of training programs and certifications and corporate programs around women in business and understanding kind of the nuances and the specific ways that women have been challenged in business historically, generationally, and how that's still impacting us today. So that was kind of like where I went. I was like, let me learn about all of this so that I can understand myself better and then help my clients as well, because I'm seeing this through line and I think we need to do something about this.
Yeah, I can agree. And it, you saw me shaking my head through it all. I've talked to so many women as a advisor, coach, whatever, for years. And it is, it's like you see on the outside so put together and successful, and on the inside, when you do get to help them peel back that onion, like there's, don't look on this inside as much as they do on the outside. So I love to dive into this a little bit more. I know you have a program that you work through some steps to help kind of people along this way. Can you tell us more about what those steps would be?
Absolutely. So I wanted to make this, like, I went through this own journey on myself, and then I brought my clients through it. And I was like, how do I help more people understand like what they can do now? If they are resonating with like any of that, where they're like, I am pushing too hard. I don't feel like I can say no. I really don't feel like I can speak up. Maybe my negative self-talk is really, really bad. The first part is that we have to slow down and acknowledge the ways that we are numbing ourselves from being at peace with ourselves. It's really hard. One of my coaches asked me at one point, she's like, Alison, you are, you know, overworking, you are pushing so hard. Like, what are you afraid of when you slow down and just face yourself? And I was like, that's a great question. So I forced myself to do it. And I forced myself to recognize some of the ways that I was numbing myself or kind of avoiding my own self. So that is really like the first step, is to slow down a little bit. It is so hard.
That's the hardest one for driven entrepreneurs, driven women in general, driven leaders to, I mean, just the word slow down. That's a challenge. So when you say slow down, what does that mean? Is that meditation, or is that like slow down, do some self-analysis? What does it mean to slow down?
It means to take even like 1 minute every day to hear your own thoughts. It's like, and I start from like the beginning, like, no, I can't do that. I don't have time to meditate. Okay. 1 minute a day to listen to yourself. And then once that starts, once you start to do this, you will be able to start to extend it. Because we have to realize that like our fast pace, although it's impressive, it's going to come at a cost at some point. Mm-hmm. And so the faster we can kind of just like slow down, get the clarity, because what's happening right there in our bodies is like high cortisol. You know, when we have high cortisol, we even lose our ability to have peripheral vision. So we're like in this like kind of cycle of just like, let's go, let's go, let's go. And like, we have to recognize like there's going to be a consequence here. You know, I've read and I've heard a lot of the time that people and humans don't change until they need to. Most of the time when we need to change, that's when we hit that wall. And so it's recognizing like, okay, I can either hit the wall and there's a consequence, or I can take 1 minute a day to start to listen to myself and start to understand like who I am and really where I'm going. So the first step is to like 1 minute a day, start to listen to yourself. So I know these like high performing women, like we have audiobooks in our ears all the time. We have podcasts in our ears all the time. The end of the workday, we're going to get a glass of wine, or we're going to be with people all the time. It's just creating some spaciousness. And it doesn't have to be a 3 month vacation to Bali to shut off all of our like technology. It's just taking some of our time and our life back to just be, because we have to recognize like we are human beings. We're not human doings. And when we can just start to listen to ourselves again, start to connect back to ourselves, that's where the process starts. And so,
almost like that uncomfortable sit in silence, mm-hmm. to hear what your head's, yes. saying. On the when you do shut down for a minute or two or whatever you can do. Yes, that's sometimes a scary thing to listen to your own brain.
It can be. It can be scary. Yeah. And yet it's
scary good.
Scary good, and probably and possibly one of the most important journeys you will go on. So the first step is just to take some space. And again, like I know I work with a lot of corporate moms who are like, there is a child in my face at 5 a.m. Like, where, when am I going to do this? And it's just like literally when you park your car, like 1 minute, or when you are walking to the bathroom from your desk, 1 minute, to just allow yourself to be present and be in that moment.
Love it.
From there, it's really about getting to know yourself. So first step, really, it's a pathway to worthiness. You have to know yourself. And it, you know, it takes getting out of that kind of like cortisol-induced, fast-paced, you know, stretch. But start to know yourself. Who are you really? And when I ask people that, they're like, okay, I'm a mom, I'm a executive, I am a, you know, I'm an athlete, whatever it is. But like, no, who are you really? Tell me about you. So this can be in the form of journaling. This can be in just asking yourself this question when you're driving instead of listening to a podcast or, you know, voxing somebody or voice messaging someone. It's like, who am I? Who am I really? Get to know yourself. Mm-hmm. And on that pathway of getting to know yourself, like you might see some things that like, you're like, I don't like that. I didn't want that. You know, when I started going on this process, I was like, I'm embarrassed that I got into an abusive relationship. I didn't like that about myself. But it's just seeing yourself with compassion and non-judgment. And again, heart easier said than done, but allow yourself to see yourself. First is know yourself.
Are you an accomplished woman business owner with a story to tell? Do you crave a platform where you can share your journey, the good, the bad, and the ugly? Hey everyone, it's Tina here. If you're fans of the show, then you know we are a show that celebrates the strengths and resilience of women entrepreneurs just like you. As we're getting this podcasting community going, I thought it would be fitting to extend an invitation to apply to join me as a guest on our Top 100 podcast platform. I started Women Choosing Growth because I believe that real growth happens when we come together and share our expertise and our experiences. We want to hear your inspiring stories, the challenges you face, and the lessons you've learned on your entrepreneur journey. Whether you've triumphed over adversity or faced setbacks head on, your story has the power to inspire and empower other women just like you. This platform is for you to showcase your achievements, highlight your expertise, and create meaningful connections within our community. So if you're a fearless woman business owner, unafraid to open up about your path to success, we want you on our show. Go to www.womenchoosinggrowth.com and join our community. From there, you'll be given the chance to fill out the short application. If you believe that you have a story to share, then why not? Once again, it's www.womenchoosinggrowth.com. I can't wait to feature more amazing and talented women in this community. Now, back to the show.
So a little bit more on that, because you said it in the order that I hear most women say it, right? I'm a mom first, then I'm a wife, I'm a business owner, I'm, you know, whatever, a faithful person, whatever it is. But it's kind of in that order. And we used to laugh when my kids were younger that I was, you know, Jacob's mom or Alyssa's mom. Like that was our title for a long time when kids are young. How does someone really do this? Are there questions that they ask themselves of what makes us us or what makes you you? Like, how would someone know that they are doing a good job at the second step? They're on the right path.
Yeah.
Because I'm even thinking about myself, like, who am I? Like, I would do the same thing. I'm a mom. Yeah. Like, entrepreneur, you know, so, and I love this stuff. So I want to make sure that I'm also doing it myself and giving myself this time. So how would someone know that they've hit the core?
Okay. I love it. And even like the way you ask that, I'm like, you're such a high performing woman. Like, how do I know I'm doing a good job of it?
Exactly. I am.
Yeah. It's take away all your labels. Take away all your labels, like all of the labels that you have. Like, labels are important. Like, you are a mom, you are an entrepreneur, you are an executive. Like, all of these things are important, but take them away for now, just for the sake of this exercise. And just look at yourself in isolation and ask, what do I love? And that might be, I love my family, I love the ocean, I love the trees. Like, what do you love? What matters to you? What are some of your skills?
Okay.
And it's just removing the labels and removing kind of the expectations that those labels bring in your everyday life. Because a lot of times we are bombarded and we are heavy with the labels. Mm-hmm. And so the next question that you ask is, what do you want? What do you want? And you might say, like, I want my kids to be happy. I want them to grow up healthy. Okay. What do you want? What do you need? And just start to get clear on those answers as like that individual, because the reality and the truth is, like, you are an individual. We all are individuals. And as much as we have labels, sister, daughter, friend, mother, those are important. But when we don't know and foster that like identity of self, that's when we don't get to be the best, shiniest, most empowered version of us. And so a lot of times the women that I talk to feel selfish for, you know, even asking themselves these questions, but it's not. It's really, you get to be better for others when you are better for yourself first.
Mm-hmm. I believe that. I feel too, I wonder if you, I imagine you're going to agree with this from working with so many women. I've heard some women, like, if they label themselves a certain way, and then there's a piece of that that didn't work out to the label that they gave themselves. Like if they have a couple children and something, you know, kid got in major trouble, or a business owner who maybe made some bad decisions and had a financial hardship. It's like that when you label yourself and then that isn't all sunshine and rainbows, like you almost lose that identity because you put so much, you know, so much effort into that label or so much of who you are into that label. Do you see that as well?
100%. And it's really, I see people all the time making their labels mean something about them, which, like, of course, if you're a mom, like that label means something about you. And yet when it comes to like a business decision or a business experience or an experience or a mistake, we have to really manage what meaning we make that situation about us. Because when often there's a theme and a kind of a story or a narrative with high-performing women that like we are worthy because we are great at business. We are great parents. We can do it all. And yeah. That's just not true. It's just not true. If we were to take away—
We all want to.
Yeah. And of course we do. Of course we do.
That's the whole point of high performance.
Of course we do. And yet we have to recognize and realize that without your accolades, your achievements, your success, your business, all of that, without it, you're worthy anyways, just as you are, as a human being, like the youest you, the most like deepest essence, you are always worthy. Nothing can take that away from you. No amount of mistakes, no amount of errors, nothing can take that away from you. And that's really the point, is that when we can operate from a sense of like, I am enough right now as I am, no matter what, then let's go and achieve. Then let's go and do. Mm-hmm. But often we don't feel good enough or smart enough or pretty enough or young enough, whatever it is, worthy. And then we try to achieve, and that's where we get into trouble. And so the goal is to strip away the things, the identities that we create ourselves that make us feel like we are good enough, and recognize potentially for the first time in your life that as you are, just you are worthy and good and full of love, and nothing could ever take that away from you.
Love it. Okay. So slow down. Really get to know yourself.
So that's the first step.
What's that?
The second step mm-hmm. is, as you're getting to know yourself, accept every single part of you. Accept it. The
good, the bad, and the ugly.
Good, the bad, the ugly. I had to accept my mistakes. And in business, oh my gosh, I have made so many mistakes in business. So many mistakes. And yet,
I always say you're not doing it right if you haven't made a ton of mistakes and you're not taking enough risk. So for all those people who are like, yes, I feel like I must have taken a lot of risks because I also made many mistakes that I love to share now.
Exactly. And I'm growing so fast because of them. Like truly, I have grown. Yes. I have grown at the speed of light because of the mistakes that I've made. And
amen.
It takes, again, like not telling yourself I'm a bad business owner because I made these mistakes, or I'm not good enough, or I should be smarter, all of this negative self-talk that we have, and letting ourselves say things differently, like I'm learning and I'm getting better and better every single day, and I'm so grateful for what I'm learning. So accepting yourself, which takes a change in your self-narrative. And so the way that I love to teach my clients how to do this is to look at themselves with compassion. And you're like, okay, how? Like, easier said than done. Sure, Allison.
Is this in the mirror?
It's really starting to notice the way that you're talking to yourself and really starting to pull apart the specific things that you're saying about yourself that are so unkind, they're so unnecessary, and truly you would never say that to anybody and no one has ever said that to you. So there's two ways that I help my clients do this. One of them is ask yourself, when you say something really negative to yourself or you notice you get up in the morning, you look in the mirror, you're like, oh, I look fat. Who said that? Who actually said that? Truly, who said that? What you just said to yourself, who said that? And 99% of the time, it's no one except for you. And then there's the 1% of the time where it was an awful person in your life that was just trying to hurt you and you do not need to take their advice. So when you notice yourself saying like, I'm a bad business owner, I am not doing a good enough job, or they must hate me, who said that? Most of the time, it's no one. And then once we kind of identify and pull out that thought, we have to reframe it, almost literally pick the opposite of that thought. Mm-hmm. And when we can do that, and again, like people are like, I have a hard time saying nice things about myself. This is where you start to really remember like the little version of you, the little girl you. And so I have a picture on my phone of actually my niece. She's like a doppelganger of me as a child. And I, whenever I say something like mean or nasty to myself, I imagine saying it to her. And I'm like, I would never say that. Imagine saying it to your daughter. Imagine saying it to little you. You would never. Mm-mm. So then ask yourself, what would I say instead? And that's where that compassion, especially for women, comes so easy, because we have so much compassion for little ones. We have so much compassion for younger women. We have so much compassion even for our younger self. So start to accept yourself. And really, really allow yourself to bring the most amount of self-love that you have to you. The third step is to honor yourself. So the first step, again, is to know who you are, what you want, really what you need. Listen, start listening to that voice, asking yourself, like, what do I need right now? What do I do right now that gives me my own needs? Accept every single part of you. Maybe you need to rest. You have to accept that. So know yourself, honor yourself. Sorry, know yourself, accept yourself, and now honor yourself. That one is maybe the toughest one, because that's saying no. That's saying that doesn't work for me. That's saying this relationship isn't what I need in my life anymore. That's saying I actually need some space and time. That's saying I need this deadline to be next Friday, not this Friday. That is speaking up for yourself. That is what I put in quotes, like being more difficult. Mm-hmm. And this is where I see, like, and historically and generationally, we are taught so many things as, you know, as being a woman to kind of like be smaller, be quieter, be prettier, be neater, be more perfect. And this is where we kind of break out of that box. We be louder and we ask for what we want and we take up space. And we say no, or we say that makes me uncomfortable. And that is the part where, like, you really can listen to yourself, accept every part of you, and start speaking up about the things that you really need in your life. And this is the part where, like, other people in your life will start to notice what's going on with you. And they're like, what's going on with her? Why is she being so difficult? And the reality is that you're just, for the first time, maybe asking for what you want, or putting yourself at the equal level of other people in your life, because maybe you've been overgiving and overserving and over-delivering for a very long time and people are used to that. And putting up boundaries feels really, really crunchy for other people. But it's so necessary for your own longevity.
I can so relate to that, thinking of all the women that are close to me and that I've worked with over the years. It's that I feel like the word is selfish, right? That feels very selfish. And for selfless people who are always giving and, you know, honoring commitments and, well, I said this deadline, so I'm going to have to meet it, even though it doesn't work for me because of X, Y, and Z. Like, I feel like that would be, as you said, it's one of the hardest things to do because you're almost being selfish. But selfish, it comes with such a negative tone that really you're just setting boundaries and being your true self.
Yeah. And it's really not being difficult. It's just, there's like a programming here that can sometimes feel like the norm. And if we've never gone through this process before of really asking, like, what do I need right now? And believing that you deserve what you need, like truly, and you're not being selfish, you're not being mean, you're not hurting anybody, but like truly, I need a break, or I need to say no to this, or I need to not overgive, then, you know, going into this process can feel really uncomfortable. But it's really important to be able to do that for yourself. And so what I suggest for my women as they're getting kind of started on this is do the small things. So for example, if I was in an Uber and I was cold, sometimes I would just be like, I don't want to bug him. Yeah, I'm just going to.
I wouldn't say anything either.
So now I'm like, I'm not going to say sorry anymore. Would you mind turning up the heat? I'm quite cold. Thank you so much. That sun is in my eyes. Do you mind closing the blinds a little bit? Thank you so much. Actually, next Wednesday doesn't work. How is Friday sound instead? And the crazy part of this is when I first started doing this, I was like, people are going to think I'm like so out there and so extra. They don't. It's normal. It's okay.
It's totally normal. We would not think twice if someone asked us to turn the heat on or the blinds down or pick a different day. We would not think anything of it. And that's probably an exercise, as it feels uncomfortable. If we were in the opposite shoes, would we cringe at the request you're about to make?
No.
Likely
not. Never. Never. And in fact, what it does is it shows other people that you value yourself. Mm-hmm. And that's not a bad thing. It means that there's a level of respect for yourself and people feel that presence. So start with those little things and then move into, I need help. Which, again, I see women drown rather than ask for help. Mm-hmm. I need more support from you. I need you to stop doing that. Those more critical conversations, they're still honoring yourself. And the way that you know that you're aligned on this is when you ask yourself, like, truly, what do I need right now? It takes that, like, again, that like knowing and listening, staying close to you. And then when you ask for it, you know you're not out of line here. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, if I'm your friend, Tina, and I'm like, Tina, what I really need right now is some help and support. Like, truly, that's just like what I need in my heart. Would you be like, ugh, gross? Like, no. You'd be like, I'm so glad you asked.
Yes.
I'm here for you.
Yes. Very good. Okay. And there's the fourth step.
So the fourth step is, it's almost like there's nothing you have to really do with this step, but it happens because of the first three step. And that is where you truly start to love yourself and to love your life and to love your experiences, because those three steps lead up to a more aligned, joyful, honest, real experience in everything that you're doing. And going through that experience, it could remove some people from your life. It could remove some clients, some situations, but you meet a different version of yourself on the other side of that is so connected to your life and so connected to everything that you're doing. And it doesn't mean you don't go through hard things anymore, but you really love the woman that you're becoming and that you are. And you start operating your life from a sense of worthiness and self-love, rather than, I will prove one day that I am enough and I will prove one day that I'm good enough. And that's where it gets to be so fun and so abundant and so exciting, that like the fourth step really is just to enjoy the fruit of your labor of going through this process.
Mm-hmm. That one day is today.
Yes.
I love it. Can you run through those four steps again in summary, just so we all can grasp it?
Yes. I mean, there's kind of like a sub step, which is like, you have to get off of the cortisol like push, which like find a way to stop numbing yourself just for a moment each day, because that will help you with the first step of know who you are, know yourself, start to listen. The second step is to, once you start to know who you are, accept every single part of you, accept everything that you see. The third step is start to honor yourself. Honor the things that you need. Honor who you are. Honor what you need. And then the fourth step is to truly start to love who you are and who you're becoming.
I love it. I just wish everyone listening can take the time, go through this or go through your course if they're needing some additional assistance through that. Because I think as you know, we've shared here today, working with both of us working with so many entrepreneur women and women in leadership that are juggling all the things, the momhood or the, you know, the careers and the wife and all the things and everything that we have going on. It's like just to take that time and really honor ourselves.
And I think something that's really important to know is that if you are experiencing this of feeling of low self-worth, it's not your fault. Like there's nothing wrong with you. When we look at generational, historical, societal pressures and trauma, we have ended up here as modern women. It makes a total sense with the, when we look at like the history of women in business and like what we were allowed to do, what we weren't allowed to do, even just like our grandmas, we didn't get to see the things that we would want to see today, you know, back then. Mm-hmm. And when we look at like the examples that we've had in our lives, like they're getting better and we get more opportunities as women than ever before. But it wasn't that long ago where women weren't allowed to have their own credit card, or they weren't allowed to open a bank account, or they weren't allowed to be in science. And so society has started to catch up and we have more rights than ever before, but intrinsically and internally, what has been passed down from generation to generation hasn't quite caught up. So that's why women have more levels of imposter syndrome, lack of confidence, self-doubt, all of these things that we're seeing kind of intrinsically with corporate or executive women. It's not because you've done something wrong or that there's anything wrong with you. It's just the way that we've evolved in, you know, our society and our history. And so I think that's really important to know. Like sometimes I have people ask me like, well, why do I feel this way? It's just asking yourself, like, what were you taught along the way, you know, subconsciously, where we're watching, you know, maybe our mom played a specific role or maybe our grandma did. We just have to remember that it's not your fault that you feel this way and you have this like high intensity to want to prove that you're good enough. It's just like really acknowledging that for yourself and being like, all right, that's there. And I want to change it so that I can have more joy, you know, a greater self-expression and expansion in my own life.
Yes. And we just had this episode with Leslie who talked about childhood traumas where there is something specific that someone's been telling you some things that are not true. And it's time to like cut that cord of things that we were, yes, environments that we were in as children or, you know, not the greatest relationships, abusive relationships, or seen those type of things. So it's time to start over, start over to love yourself.
And it's possible. Mm-hmm. It's so possible. You can do it.
I agree. Any last words for our audience and the lovely ladies listening?
I think just look at the gap in your own self. Like when you look at yourself and you look at like all of your magnificence, all of your achievements, all of the things that you've done or who you are, really, really work to try and close that gap of the way that you feel on the inside. Like the more you can do that, the more you can really see yourself for how magnificent you are, the better life gets to become for you. And you're so worthy of that. And it gets to be so much fun. And so I know that we've been taught sometimes that if we just keep pushing and, you know, we grind and hustle our way through life, it's the way to success. I truly believe that the way to success is to own your own self-worth and own your sense of self-worth. And like, you don't have to do anything to be worthy. Mm-hmm. And so it's just changing the way you see yourself to allow yourself to be really the person that you want to become.
I can see that. Like draw a picture of or describe how other people see you, and describe how you see yourself. And if there's a big gap there, that's the stuff we need to work on.
Yes, exactly.
Before we finish here, why don't you tell me and the listeners a little bit, and we'll put it in the show notes, about you do have a group program to help women go through this with you, right? So can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah. So it's called the Clearly Worthy Group Coaching Program. And it's really women in business, in leadership, who are entrepreneurs or in the executive world, who want to level up their self-worth, or they're noticing that the way that they're talking to themselves, the way that they're operating in life, they're lacking confidence. Maybe they're feeling the imposter syndrome. They want to go to that next level, but something is getting in the way. That's what this group is for. And the community in it is incredible. It's just some of the most incredible women that I feel like I get to know. I'm so privileged and honored to work with them. And we meet twice a month and we go through specific kind of curriculum, workshops, coaching to help them get to their next level of success. And so we've seen some pretty incredible things in that program: women launching companies, women getting promotions, women getting paid more for their work. And it's just having that community around you that are thinking the same way and uncovering these subconscious beliefs that we're experiencing, uncovering like our limitations, that has helped these women get to that next level of success. So I would love for anybody who is kind of resonating with this message to reach out and have a chat and see if this would be something supportive for you.
I love it. I love it. For the overachievers listening, like, this is a way to really get clear with yourself to be able to take your business to the next level or align your business in your personal life or any of those things that we need to work on constantly to continually to be the best selves that we can. So I appreciate having you here today, Allison.
Thanks so much for the invitation, Tina. I really appreciate you and everything you do.
Appreciate you too. Thank you.
I hope you enjoyed today's episode. Please be sure to hit subscribe on your favorite podcast platform so you never miss an episode. The Woman Choosing Growth Show is not just another podcast. It's a tribe of women helping each other grow. So please share this podcast with all the women entrepreneurs that you would love to see succeed. If you'd like to know more about customized business advising through Cultivate Advisors, download business tools, or sign up for upcoming events, visit www.womenchoosinggrowth.com. Once again, that's www.womenchoosinggrowth.com. Remember, we are in this together. See you on the next one.